Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're going, well, beyond just the numbers in financial audits.
Mm-hmm.
We're really digging into the meticulous process behind them, the foundation of trust in financial reporting.
Exactly. And our mission really is to demystify that whole world for you.
Why?
We'll look at how audits get planned.
Okay.
The big risks involved, you know, things like fraud, and also the strict quality controls that are supposed to guarantee integrity.
Right.
We'll be pulling insights from the international standards on auditing the ISA, sort of the global rule book.
Got it. So let's unpack this planning idea first. It's not just paperwork, right? It's about making the audit effective.
Absolutely. It's about effectiveness, efficiency, and really significantly cutting down the risk of, well, a poor quality audit.
So that's like the blueprint.
You could say that. It's like mapping out a really complex journey beforehand.
Okay.
The benefits are huge. You focus on the important bits. You spot problems early.
Mm, and hopefully fix them.
And hopefully fix them, yes. And you make sure you've got the right team, the right skills for that specific job. Without that strategy, things can go sideways fast.
Right. Which obviously impacts the trust you can place in the report.
Definitely diminishes trust, yeah.
Now, you mentioned standards, but auditing isn't just following rules, is it? There's a human element here.
Oh, a massive amount. This is where professional judgment is key. It's auditors applying their training, their experience.
Their gut feeling sometimes.
Well, an informed gut feeling, maybe. Making informed decisions. And that links straight into professional skepticism.
Okay, what's that exactly? Being cynical.
Not cynical, no. It's more like being alert, having a questioning mind, aware that things could be wrong, that fraud or errors might exist, even if it looks clean.
So trust, but verify.
That's a good way to put it. You don't assume dishonesty, but you critically assess the evidence. It's fundamental for tackling risk properly.
Okay, let's talk risk then. You mentioned fraud. How does that differ from just mistakes?
Good question. Fraud is intentional deception. Things like deliberately messing with the financial reports or, you know, outright theft of assets.
Right.
Error, on the other hand, is unintentional, just a mistake.
Mm.
Now, management is primarily responsible for preventing fraud.
Of course.
But auditors have to assess that risk. They have to think about how management could potentially override controls to commit fraud.
That's interesting. So even with auditors trying their best, some serious fraud could still slip through. If it's really well hidden or involves collusion.
Unfortunately, yes. There's always what we call an unavoidable risk. An audit gives reasonable assurance, not absolute certainty.
So what does that mean for us relying on these reports?
It means understanding the limitations, but also appreciating the rigor involved. Auditors also look for non-compliance with laws and regulations.
Things like tax laws.
Yes, those directly impact the financials, but also indirect things like maybe environmental rules or data protection laws. Breaching those could still have a massive financial impact down the line.
I see.
And there are ethical standards. The IESB's NOCLAR rules, non-compliance with laws and regulations.
Okay.
That guide auditors on what to do if they suspect illegal acts. Sometimes that might even mean overriding client confidentiality in the public interest.
Wow. Okay. So you've got planning, judgment, risk assessment. It's a really complex process.
Right.
How do we know the audit itself was done well? How is quality assured?
Right. That's where quality control comes in, governed by standards like ISA 220. Think of it in two stages, maybe.
Okay.
There are HOT reviews, technically engagement quality control reviews, or EQCRs. These happen before the audit report is signed off, especially for riskier clients.
Like a final check by a fresh pair of eyes.
Exactly. And then you have cold reviews, which is monitoring that happens after the report is issued. It's about checking compliance and driving continuous improvement in the firm's processes.
So ongoing checks. And what about the paperwork? The actual records the auditors keep? The working papers.
Ah, the working papers. They're absolutely crucial. They're not just notes. They're the evidence.
Evidence for what?
Evidence supporting the auditor's final opinion in the report and proof that the audit followed all the required standards. They document the judgments made, the tests performed, everything.
And who owns these? The company being audited?
No, and this is vital. The auditor owns the working papers.
Really? Why is that important?
It's fundamental for their independence. And for continuity if they audit the company again. And because they contain so much sensitive, confidential information, keeping them secure, especially now they're often digital, is paramount.
Makes sense. If those got out or were tampered with,
the whole audit's credibility could collapse. They're arguably as vital as the final report itself.
So it's clear a financial audit is Well, it's incredibly intricate, far more than just checking sums. It's this whole structure of planning, judgment, risk analysis, quality checks, and detailed documentation.
Which really brings us to a key takeaway question for you, the listener. How does knowing about this meticulous multi-layered approach, the planning, the risk management, the quality focus, the documentation, how does that ultimately reinforce global confidence in financial reporting? And maybe, what new layers of trust do you now perceive when you next look at an audited financial statement?